We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Come on, guys. Come on.
I know I'm not Miss Leah. I look very different and sound very different. And it feels very weird being up on the stage where Miss Leah should be. Okay, and y'all, I am definitely not as good at this as Miss Leah is because I haven't memorized anything, but luckily, Miss Leah loves me enough, she sent me a script. So here's the thing. There are times when I like to do special things for my family, okay? We may have a movie night and we like order pizza and just get to spend time together. Or I don't know about y'all, does anybody here like to cook? I love to cook. I love to make big meals. Sometimes they're a little too elaborate for my own making, but I do love to do those things. And so doing those things is a nice way to show my family that I love them, right? To do something special for them. And they're big gestures, right? It's like, I'm going to spend all afternoon in the kitchen cooking. But that's one, like, snapshot of things that I like to do for my family to show that I love them. And there's little things that you or I can do all day, every day, to show our family how much we love them. And my phone just died. There we go. Technology. Jesus did not plan for that. Okay. Now, Jesus was always kind and helpful. One day, he was in the home of Simon Peter. Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a fever. Jesus went into the room where she was, took her by her hand, and helped her out of bed. When Jesus touched her, the fever left her immediately. Later that evening, people brought everyone who was sick to see Jesus so that he could heal them. The Bible says that the whole town was gathered. Can you imagine if everybody in Houston was gathered around Jesus? It's a lot of people, isn't it? It's a lot of people just in our church. So Jesus showed his love by caring for those who needed his healing touch. The next time you want to let someone know how much you care for them, remember that we show others we care, not just by big elaborate gestures like making a big meal or making a special night, but by showing acts of kindness each and every day, just like Jesus did. All right, y'all ready to pray with me? All right. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for our friends, our family, our pets, and this awesome church. Amen.
Way to go. So someone just talked to me. During the prayer stations, there's been a special request. Richard, I was just told. We have someone in our church whose family is in Nebraska. And Nebraska, between rain and ice melting, that's having really bad floods. And I was asked to have you guys during prayer time at the altar to remember the people in Nebraska in your prayers. So, yeah. So make sure you put that on your list. So in the movie Fellowship of the Rings, who have seen that? Who's seen Fellowship of the Rings? There is a wizard named Gandalf, and Gandalf speaks to Frodo. Do we have the picture? There we go. Gives him words of wisdom that I think all of us should pay attention to. Because what he says is all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. I mean, do you understand what that means? You have a certain amount of time here on earth, and our job is to determine what we're supposed to do with that time. Now, in the book of James, James says it a little more pessimistically, if you will. James writes, "You do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Joy, joy, joy. You are a mist, then vanishes. Well, what James should have said is each of us is given 24 hours in a day, which comes to 1,440 minutes or 86,400 seconds. And every day we have to decide what we will do with that. So over the last few weeks, I had James in my mind, and I'm thinking about being a mist and that my days are numbered. And I'm thinking about what Gandalf said, our job is to find out what we're to do with our time. So I decided I would do a little research. I was curious that in America, if you're living in the U.S., what is the average lifespan of an adult? And the average lifespan of an adult is 79 years. You got that? Which comes to 948 months, or 28,835 days, or 692,040 hours. I'll let you guys deal with minutes and seconds. I was a liberal arts major. So I thought, if we have 28,835 days, that's our average lifespan. How do we spend those? 28,835 days. So I thought, well, the first 15 years, that's a wash, right? I mean, right? So I figure the first 15 years is 5,475 days. So the real question is, once we turn 16, because that's like on the verge of being an adult, we have 23,360 days to determine what we're going to do. So I was curious, the average American, what do they do with their 23,360 days that God has given them on an average lifespan? Here's what I discovered. For sleeping, we sleep about 8,478. That means we only have 14,883 days left. In the process of eating, drinking, or preparing food, it's 1,635 days. We work, if you work 40 hours a week, 5 days a week, it comes out to about 3,202 days. Now you have to remember, this is a day, 24 hours, so it's kind of cumulative over your 28,835 days. So now when you take out sleeping, eating, drinking, preparing food, working, you now only have 10,046 days left. Now that sounds good, except if you live in the Houston area or a major city, you spend 1,099 days commuting or traveling from one place to the other. You spend 2,676 of your days watching TV in some form or another. So now we're down to 6,271 days. Sounds pretty good, except you spend about 1,576 days doing household activities like chores, shopping, taking care of our pets. You take care of the needs of others and their well-being, 564 days. You bathe, groom, and do other bathroom activities, 671 days. 720 days are consumed by religious and civic activities and working with charities and taking classes and things like that. So after you remove all of those, you have 2,740 days. to figure out what you're going to do. Those are days, those are time for laughing, for swimming, for making art. It's filled with reading, texting, checking Facebook, or maybe learning how to play piano. And the question for today is, what will you do with your time? In the days that are left, what will you do with your time? What if you had just one more day? And then the real question is, what are you going to do with today? Now, we are in this series of five love languages where we're trying to become more loving people so that on Resurrection Sunday, we are more loving than we were on Ash Wednesday. And we're using Gary Chapman's book, who goes over five love languages that we all speak. And last week, we talked about the first one, words of affirmation. The second one, quality time. The third one, physical touch. The fourth one, gifts. And the last one, acts of service. Last week was my main natural love language, words of affirmation. And we talked about if you did words of affirmation, people who have that as their top language feel loved by when you do say nice things, text good things, compliment, whatever, however you do that. That's how you speak that language. Has everyone now taken the test, the assessment? Do we know what you are?
Yes.
Okay, good. Who's on words of affirmation, number one? Okay. If you didn't take it, it'll be out in the Monday Minder, and you can try again. Any of today, quality time? Quality time, people? Quality time. Today, we are talking about quality time. It is what Jill's number one language is. It is her, the way I express love to her is giving her quality time. Now, before we can do that, we have to begin to understand what quality time is and what it is not. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. And I want you to greet one another. And when you greet one another, I want you to tell each other what your definition of quality time really is. Go ahead, take a moment and do that. Go ahead, have a seat. So, anyone want to share their definition of quality time? Go ahead. Well, Bruce pointed to you. Blame the Canadian, don't blame me. That's quality time. Yeah, I'm sure Gail loves. I'm sure Carrie loves that. Definition of quality time. Yes, ma'am. Huh? Hugging. That's quality time. No technological interference. Anyone ever here? Quality time. So that we're all on the same page, I'm going to share with you how Gary Chapman would define it. Quality time is when you give somebody your undivided attention. That means no guff on TV, no texting, no phone, no distractions, so that when you're with that person, whoever that is, you are focused on them. Now, I got to back up because I got a couple of emails this week where people said they really had a hard time relating to this series because they understood the series just to be for marriage and dating and the significant other. And I went back and looked at my notes, and I must have skipped it because I thought I had said that this just is going to make us more loving people. These five love languages aren't restricted to the person you're dating, the person you're married to, the person you're sitting with. And this is how, if we learn to interact with the world like this, we will outlove everybody else, which is our goal. So quality time is when you give undivided attention. Now, here comes the problem. We have a hard time giving quality time. because we are so easily distracted. I mean, think about it. How many times are you with someone and you're supposed to be focused on them, but you're looking at your phone, or your tablet, or your watch? You're checking text messages, checking email. Jill and I have a habit that's not good, is we are spending time together, we're on the couch together, and but we're both working on our laptops. That is not quality time. Being together is good, but if it's quality time, it is undivided, total focus on the other person. And it's learning to listen to what the other person is saying, not constructing your response while the other person is talking. That, according to Chapman, is the love language of quality time. Now, I decided that I was curious about what Jesus saw as quality time. I mean, how did he handle this? I mean, here's someone who was busy, pressured, under stress, knew he had limited time. So what I did is I decided I would skim the Gospels looking for encounters that Jesus had and see how he reacted and responded to people that he met. And I was amazed to find out, as I read the Gospels again, that it seemed like practically, if not every, one of the encounters that Jesus had with an individual in the Gospels, he gave them, I mean, he was totally focused on them. Nothing else mattered. It was all about them. I found a story in John where he met this woman at a well. Well, she was the wrong gender, because rabbis did not talk to females in public. She was came from the wrong place. She was from Samaria. She had the wrong reputation. She worshiped the wrong God. But here in John's gospel, Jesus has a conversation with her. In fact, with this woman, it is the longest recorded conversation Jesus had with any individual. Undivided, focused on her. Then there's this other story where there's this tax collector who everyone hates, and he desires to see Jesus, so he climbs a tree. Remember that story? And Jesus stops, and he looks up at Zacchaeus, and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. We're going to eat dinner together." And they went back to his house. We don't have this recorded, but they ate dinner together. And I imagine that during dinner, Jesus was not thinking about what he had to do. He was focused. Because if you read the story, Zacchaeus' life was changed. The woman at the well, life was changed. Every time Jesus encountered someone and gave them his focus, lives were changed. But then I realized there was a group of people he spent the most time with, the 12 that he called. So I wanted to see kind of how that happens. And in Mark's gospel, Mark is brilliant in this. This is what Mark says. And we're just going to do the first slide. He went up to the mountain, called to him those whom he wanted, and they came to him. Now get this. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, to be with him. You see, from the beginning of his ministry, Jesus picked 12 guys, and their sole purpose was to spend time with him. So when he ate, when he walked, when he healed, when he taught, they were with him. And he was focused on them. And he gave them this gift of time. And I looked at my own life. And I tried to compare the two. And I realized that nowhere in the Gospels does any disciple come up to Jesus and say, you know, Jesus, it used to be fun being with you, but now you're so busy, you never have time for us. You notice that? No matter how under stress he was, no disciple ever came up to him and said, hey, what about me? Pay attention to me. Because of the relationship Jesus set of giving those guys undivided, focused attention, or as Chapman would call it, quality time. Now, I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, but I have learned over the years a very important lesson. Love, no matter what your love language is, love is spelled T-I-M-E. You see, whether your quality time is number one or number five or somewhere in between, quality time is essential for building any relationship, for making anyone, bless you, feel loved. And I thought about that. I wanted to do an experiment. So when I was at HEB day before yesterday, and waiting in line, talking to the cashier, I focused on her. I didn't worry about anything, it was her. And in that focus and in that conversation, I learned that she was going through a difficult time. And for just a moment, maybe, because she could talk to someone who was focused, I don't know, maybe it helped. But I know that I felt as if I showed her love. Not because of anything I said, but because of the time I gave her. Quality time. And the funny thing about time, it is the most precious gift that we've been given. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. 24 hours a day is what we get. And Richard can attest, and Rusty can attest, we've sat with people who have been dying. And on their deathbed, or when they find out that what they have is terminal, I have never had a person say to me, hey, look at my resume. Look at all the fun stuff I got. What they want to talk about is the people they love. And when they're laying on their bed, they want to be surrounded not with their stuff, but by the people they love. That's quality time. Psalm 90, the psalmist says it like this. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Our days may come to 70 years or 80, if our strength endures, yet they quickly pass and we fly away. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. The average person gets 28,835 days. But the only day you're promised is today. And so the question is, what are you going to do with today? Maybe today is the day that you stop, that you notice, that you love, that you care. Words of affirmation, quality time. That's the gospel. Go ahead and watch this, and then Richard will use some of it for his prayer stations.
I heard an illustration the other day where someone used a marble to represent every weekend they have with their kids from the time they're born till the time they leave their house. It came out to about 1,000 marbles. 1,000 marbles. It kind of sounds like a lot, but before you know it, those weekends start slipping away. For me, the hardest thing, the thing that really broke my heart, was realizing how many handfuls I've already thrown away. So much time wasted. And what do I have to show for it? Life is precious, and even though I've squandered a lot of my time, now I cherish each one of these marbles. I guess you can say that seeing how much time I waste has changed my perspective on what's important. Careers and hobbies are good things, but they certainly aren't the ultimate things I had made them for. I guess this life is all about perspective. And even though I know I can't spend every weekend with my family, I can certainly try. I can't believe before that I was so dedicated to the things that don't really matter. Me? I've got 728 marbles left. And I can't wait to enjoy each one.
And now may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do. Nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you Tuesday night.